لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness for me and for you and for all the believers. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge on Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the court of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation, an addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak a word straight to the point. Say something which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are in a state of Al-Islam. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Al-Islam. And this deen of Allah, the Sharia of Allah, and the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing but khair. It's good guidance, is light, is direction, is to save you in this life and in the hereafter. And one of the main characteristics and one of the speciality of this deen that has covered everything in our life. This deen is so good, it's so beautiful, and there is nothing that you need for this life or the hereafter unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said something about it. And you should know, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, that part of Al-Islam is the akhlaq, the behavior, the discipline, and the way how we relate to each other and conduct our business with one another, the way how we interact with one another, is a great part of Islam. Islam is not only salah and fasting. Islam is not only going to Jum'ah, but Islam goes with you wherever you go and will be with you in this life, in the mosque, in the street, in the house, will be with you in the grave, will be with you in the day of judgment. So hold fast to the book of Allah and hold fast to the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, been questioned about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam behavior. She said, كان خلقه القرآن. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his manner, his discipline was the Quran. So whatever the Quran is commanded, you find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing it. Whatever the Quran forbade, you find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a distant away from it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah praised him by saying, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٌ عَظِيمٌ صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has the highest position of akhlaq, behavior, manner, discipline. And one of the specialities that we want to talk about when we talk about Islam and we're talking about discipline and behavior and manner is a serious issue which destroys the brotherhood, the sisterhood, the community, the solidarity, the unity, and this what you call ghiba. Ghiba is very serious illness, my brothers. It's a sickness. It's nothing but a hypocrisy coming out of the heart and expressed by the tongue. Wal-iyadu billah. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect me and you and all the Muslims from the ghiba. And this ghiba, this sickness and this illness, they call it in English backbiting. Backbiting. And this one of the things that Allah has forbid us and prohibited for the Muslims to indulge in it, regardless whatever the reason is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. In this surah, Surah Al-Hujurat, the dwelling places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't backbite one another. And if the instruction and the order of Allah is not enough, Allah giving you a serious scenario for you to reflect and for you to think about it so you can know how serious it is. And when Allah say to you, don't do something, this is means this is haram. Allah say, don't. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Neither one of you is supposed to backbite one another. If this order and this prohibition that Allah says don't is not enough for you, listen what Allah is saying. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his Muslim brother, of his Muslim sister? Not only the flesh, and saying Maita. Why he's dead? Why? Why special when he's dead? Because whatever you can do to the dead person, he could not talk back. He could not take a revenge. He could not defend himself. He's dead. Whatever you do to the dead person, he could not do anything. So he's dead. And he's your brother. Of course, any human being, an additional being, a Muslim and a believer, you will hate this. You will dislike this. How are you going to eat a flesh of a human being? How are you going to eat a flesh of a human being and this human being is your brother? How are you going to eat a flesh of a human being and he's your brother and he's dead? Is this enough for you as a Muslim to stop? Is this enough for you to repent? Is this enough for you to reflect when you open your mouth and start to talk? Wallahi, my dear respected brothers and sisters, this is more than enough. And if it's nothing except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, it's supposed to be enough for me and you. If no instruction and order from Allah except don't, this is supposed to be enough for us. Because we are Muslims. And we adhere and listen and obey to what Allah is saying. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about our illness, our weakness, our problems. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, and don't backbite one another. But still some people, the sickness and the illness deeper than others in their hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this picture and this scenario which is so serious. Which one of you would like to eat the flesh of his Muslim brother while he is dead? فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ, you will hate it. So if you hate eating the flesh of the Muslim brother and sister, and this is your Muslim brother and sister, and while he dead, so hate backbiting. So say, stay away from talking about people. Brother, wallahi akhi, I don't lie, he is, and I don't even care, I'll say it in his face, yet still a criminal, you still a transgressor, you still a wrong, a prophet of Allah. What is al-ghiba? ذكرك أخاك بما يكره. O Prophet of Allah, what is backbiting? If my brother, what I'm saying about him, it's true. I'm not lying. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't give excuse even in this case. Doesn't matter, in both cases you are committing a sin, you are a transgressor. If in him what you say, فَقَدْ اغْتَبْتَهُ, and if it's not, فَقَدْ بَهَتَهُ, in both of them you are committing a crime. Wallahi akhi, what I'm saying is true. Yes, I know it's true, but why? Why are you talking about your brother? Why are you talking about your sister? And what are you talking to somebody else about? Did Allah say, none of you will enter Jannah until he believe? Did Allah say, none of you will believe until he love for his Muslim brother what he love for himself? Would you like somebody to talk about you? Our relationship is supposed to be a relationship of loving one another, caring one another, protecting one another, covering the fault of one another. Is not this what Islam? Or this is the Islam that in the books? This is the Islam that laying down on the library on the shelf? No, akhi, this is the Islam that me and you need to practice and live it. So if our relationship with one another is supposed to be love, and you know that your Muslim brother is wrong, and you know that he's doing something wrong, why is too much is that you take him to the side and say, Akhi, what about you quit what you're doing? Stop. Akhi, you shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. This is haram. This is not the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. This is the sunnah of the kuffar. This is the work of the shaitan. Why you don't go and put your hand in his shoulder? Why you don't take him to Dunkin' Donuts and sit down with a cup of coffee and talk to him as a Muslim brother? Why we always have with the indicted finger pointing to people? Why we rush to talk to others about the faults of my brother and my sister? Will your brother can do something about it? Will your sister that you're talking to her can do something about it? Of course not. What's going to be the result? In many cases, most of the cases, your Muslim brother and your Muslim sister who's going to take it to another person. And the other person will take it to another person. And the other person to the rest of the community. The news is out. Why? What are you doing? Why are you destroying the unity, the solidarity, the brotherhood of the Muslims? What are you gaining out of this? Shaitan is playing with you. What are you gaining out of this? You really care for the Muslim brother? Go and advise him. Go give him a word of wisdom. Humble yourself before Allah for your Muslim brother and tell him, Akhi, what about you correcting this? Why you don't go as example to the Imam and say, Akhi, I don't think I can talk to this brother, but maybe you can talk to him. It makes sense. Maybe you're talking to somebody who is in authority, or you're talking to the Imam with hope that the Imam can correct him. But when you're talking to the same brother that was playing with you, or eating with you, socializing with you, swimming with you, why? You know your brother is not going to talk to him. And you know that this brother is a good possibility that he go and relate it to somebody else. And it keep going like this. Is this is the way? Wattaqullah. This is what Allah is saying. Wattaqullah. So fear Allah. Have the taqwa of Allah. Protect yourself from the punishment of Allah. Inna Allah tawwabur rahim. If you fear Allah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your tawbah, your repentance, and Allah will show mercy towards you. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi saying in his explanation in book of Riyad al-Saliheen under this chapter, he's saying something very beautiful about this ghibah, and say this ghibah is from the kaba'ir, from the major sins, and not to be expiated, be forgiven by salah or siyam. This is the haqq of ibad. This is the rights of the human being. Your salah, your fasting is not going to erase this sin. This one of the major sin. And he says that this crime, it depends on who you backbite. So when you backbiting somebody who's not in authority, it's not like backbiting somebody who's in authority. If you're talking about a general body of the Muslims, it's not like you're talking to the people who's in the administration office, as example, or the emir, or the king, or the imam, or the wali, or whosoever, because this will be more problems in the Muslim community. So it's not still a backbiting only, but who did you backbite? Especially when you talk about the ulama, when you talk about the scholars, because now the people will lose trust in these people. They don't have any confidence in these people anymore. I don't care because I hear such and such about him. Oh, this person is not a scholar. Oh, this person is not a doctor. Can you imagine now, if you talk about people who are in authority, carrying position in the Muslim community, this would be worse, because now the trust is lost among the general body of the community. We have to be careful. Brothers and sisters, let's hear together what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Qaf. Allah the Almighty is saying, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. This Quran is for me and you. This Quran is not to be recited in Qiyam Ramadan or when somebody dies. This is a book to teach us how to live, how to interact, how to be one another. So don't speak about things which you have no knowledge. What is the knowledge? Oh, I heard somebody saying, brother, wallahi, yesterday I went to eat dinner in the brother's house and I heard some people there, they saying this about him or about her. So is this the source of information? Somebody said, قِيلَ وَقَالْ وَكَثْرَةَ السُّؤَالِ. This is the problem of a lot of Muslims. He said, she said. Don't talk about things that you have no knowledge. How do you know that this is true? How do you know that this is true? you became also as a criminal by listening and carrying this news to somebody else. Don't talk about things which you have no knowledge. Allah say, your hearing, your vision, your heart, your mind, you're going to be questioned about it. So protect your ear, protect your tongue, because Allah will ask you about what you heard. Allah will ask you about what you said. Oh, but wallahi, akhi, I don't know, but I heard so and so. I don't think so and so is lying. I trust the brother. Yeah, me too, I trust him. But for what reason do you see? Why is that in the information? Why? For what reason, brothers? For what reason, sisters? Wallahi, is a serious matter. Wallahi, we have to be careful. We have to be careful about what we're doing. You see, sipping tea and destroying families, marriages, communities, organizations while you're sipping your tea. And you repeat the same visit and the same gathering with destruction again and again. And this is the way how we're going. How do you know? Akhi, I trusted the brother. And he said he saw so and so, saying so and so, and doing so and so. This not enough. This not enough. Fear Allah. If we look in the Quran about the verses talks about fear Allah, ittaqullah, ittaqullah. Especially when we do things like this, we find Allah says, wattaqullah. Fear Allah. Let the greatness of Allah come in your heart and comes in your tongue, and you stop talking about people. Stop talking about people. Wallahi, akhi, I didn't mean it. We were talking about children. We were talking about activity, and the name of so-and-so came. No. Why you mention it? Go to so-and-so and advise him for the sake of Allah. It's not part of our deen that nasiha. Is not part of our deen al-nasiha? Yes. Why we are not carrying our obligation as Muslims and we're expecting everything to be wonderful while we're still using our tongue, slandering people, backbiting people, even lying against people. Even what you're saying about your Muslim brother is true. Akhi, he buy drugs. Akhi, he deals with his interests. Akhi, he does this and that. Doesn't matter. It's still for you to talk about him in his absence. Even if he's wrong, you're still wrong. You're still double wrong. So let's rise up this shaitanic philosophy that, brother, I know what I'm saying is right and I'm willing to say it in his face. This is being arrogant. This is being arrogant that, yes, I can go and say it in his face. Yes, he can. Because you don't have the taqwa of Allah. You don't have the taqwa of Allah, so you're ready to say it in his face. Why you don't say it in his face? Why you don't go and give him nasiha? Why you don't take him to your house for a dinner and try to remind him about Allah? No. We don't want to spoil the Muslims. We don't want to be good to the Muslims. It's better that we whip his back and scratch his back and eat his flesh in his absence. This is much easier on some of the Muslims. I beg Allah's forgiveness for me and you and all the Muslims, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to make it wake up, and that we stay away from backbiting Muslims here or there or wherever they are. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين. Who wants Jannah? Who wants Jannah? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is giving you insurance policy with Jannah if you want Jannah. What the Prophet is saying, من يضمن لي ما بين لحيي وبين رجلي أضمن له الجنة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, whosoever grantee me and protect whatever between his two jaws and his two legs, Allah promised him Jannah. This a policy never fail, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who promising us. Watch for your tongue, watch for your private parts. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will guarantee you Jannah. You don't want a Jannah? So if you really want a Jannah, watch your tongue when you talk. It's a sign of faith to watch your tongue. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Whosoever believes in Allah and the day of judgment, let him say something good or be quiet. Brothers and sisters, I remind myself before I remind you, we are not being created to be a media station. We are not being created to be a radio station, to be a TV broadcasting, that every time we sit, we have to talk. Wallahi, it's dangerous, brothers. Some of our gathering, some of our dinners, some of our teas, some of our socialization, even in the mosque, it's danger. Fire coming out of it. Destruction coming out of it. We have to be careful. Do you believe in Allah? Do you believe in the day of judgment? You know that you're going to be resurrected and stand before Allah and ask you. So say something good or be quiet. And some people in their heaven say, what's wrong with you, man? Why are you so quiet? What's wrong with you? Say something. No. It's better for him to be quiet. Say something. So we are not sitting in mahdana. Not to the culture of some people. Say we are not sitting in a funeral session. Why is so quiet? No, leave it. Let him be quiet. Let her be quiet. Some people sit for hours because this is their break time from having children around them. The children playing outside with the swing sit. And the sisters, some of the sisters enjoying the air condition inside, and from Jum'ah until Maghrib. May Allah forgive them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a reminder. And I say this specifically, because sometimes when the khatib giving a khutbah, everybody thinks this khutbah referring to somebody in North Carolina, somebody maybe living in Africa, somebody living in Egypt, in the moon. But we never think about our own self. Sometimes we entertain ourselves with what? Talking. And while we're talking, we are not careful. Be safe. مَنْ نَجَاهُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عُقْبَةُ coming to the Prophet ﷺ, ask him, how I can be safe? قَالَ أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ أمسك عليك لسانك وليدفعك بيتك وك على خطيئتك. Oh Prophet of Allah, how I can be safe? Say, hold to your tongue, watch your tongue. This is the way you be safe. Let your house be enough for you. Sitting in the coffee shop and sitting in the restaurants and sitting in the public places and talk. Let your house, go there, sit in your house by yourself, you and your wife, you and your children. Stop talking with people, sitting here, and you feel yourself obligated that you have to say something like everybody's saying. Let your house be sufficient and enough for you. Sorry about your wrongdoing. This is the najah. So if you want to be safe, watch for your tongue. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and you the ability that we lock and prison and jail our own tongue except in the remembrance of Allah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم.